it's great to think about God loving the world, that he wanted to come and give his only son that we could enjoy God's company. And I love that because it's about a fresh start. And this new year, do we want fresh starts? Some do, some are nodding. Do we want a fresh start? That's what New Year can be about, isn't it? It's about a fresh start, a new beginning. I love welcoming in New Year with friends, family, loved ones, because it's a way of kind of underlining the past year and welcoming in a new one full of hope and opportunity and optimism, which I like to think I'm fairly optimistic in life. But it's good that we've got the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was given as God's Son for us, as a fresh start. So at the beginning of our service, there was a passage. I don't think my thing works from here. So this is what was read out by Andrew. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We've probably heard that a lot over the Christmas period. It's often said in our carol services. But it's a really important promise for the Jewish people in the Old Testament of a fresh start. See, God's people were created for a loving relationship with God, to be blessed by him, to be loved and cared for in an intimate relationship. Not a far-off, distant God, but a God that walked with his people. And humankind, we're not always good at following instructions or obeying, are we? I don't know about you. Are we all good at following instructions and obeying? So, well done. So, yes, I'm not sure. Great if you are. Fantastic. We'll learn from you. But sometimes we're not, and God's people weren't. And time again, they messed up, like we all do. Maybe we've lost patience with someone over the Christmas period. I mean, that would never happen, would it? But when we're together with family and friends and loved ones, maybe we just get a bit... Maybe we flat out lie about something. Maybe we deny that God is in our life, that we love him. We fall short sometimes, but the great thing is that God made a way for us to be reconnected with him. And that's what Jesus did when he came. He fulfilled this promise of God making a way, that there would be a child that would come to the earth that would be the perfect human being, making a way for humans and God to be in perfect relationship. And the interesting word here is everlasting father. What do you think everlasting father might mean? What kind of image does it conjure up? Any answers? What do you think? Pondering it in the front here. What do you think? A father who's there forever and ever and ever. Brilliant answer. Any other thoughts? Shout them out to me if there are. Silence. I can't hear. They're in the beginning and still here now. And against a father figure, someone that protects, cares, loves us forever and ever. Isn't that amazing? That God is there for us now and forever. This is what one commentator in the Bible talks about, everlasting father, in relation to Jesus being that promised baby that Isaiah talked about. It says everlasting father refers to Jesus' father-like character, that he will provide for and protect his children with wisdom and compassion. The next slide goes on to say that this child, that Jesus, would come to earth to redeem and adopt sinners into the family of God, offering love and protection as our everlasting. And so we're going to unpack that a bit more this morning. Is there a spare? Before we kind of look more at a particular passage that helps us to unpack those things, we are going to have the Bible reading, and then we're going to, we'll have the Bible reading first, and then I'll explain everything else that's happening. So let's hear from God's word. So that's what we believe. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the Galatians passage, it talks about God in all three persons. It might be worth opening the Bible to chapter 4 of Galatians, verses 4 to 7. I'll just re-find my place. Because they're great words, words that are encouraging for us in this new year. And it talks about adoption to sonship. So my question is, What do we think of when we think of adoption? So what happens when someone is adopted? Any ideas, anyone? What happens?
When their previous family is dead or not suitable to look after children. So another family has to take them in.
Yeah. Yep, so a previous family that might have died or might not be able to look after them is then taken care of by another family to care and look after them. Is there something else as well? Something else in adoption? What else happens? I will tell you. It's a good job, I know. So in adoption, we might know people that have been adopted. We might have been adopted ourselves. But adoption is actually a legal process by which a child or a group of siblings, like you said, who cannot be brought up within their birth family, become full permanent and legal members of their new family. So it's permanent, no take-backs. And so that's what God is talking about. That's what's happening in Galatians 4. When it says in verse 4, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive the full rights of sons." In other versions, it talks about adoption to sonship. That means, like, legally, we are God's children. Because of what Jesus has done, we are his. We're adopted into his family. To help us think a little bit about adoption, who loves a good story? I love a good story. I love going and escaping into the world of fiction. And so I've got some characters that are going to come up on the screen, and I want you to tell me who are these characters and maybe a little bit about kind of their adoption, if you know. If not, it's all right. I'm prepared. I can tell you. So the first character, who is this? Right at the back. That is Matilda. So Matilda is a creation of Roald Dahl, one of my favourite stories when I was younger. And it's of a story where she wasn't really appreciated in her family. She loved books and learning, and her family didn't. And she found an amazing home with her teacher, Miss Honey, who appreciated Matilda's talent and skill and wanted to nurture her and care for her. Think about that. We're children of God. We're adopted. What might that say for us? Next picture. Who is this?
Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda. Do you know his name?
Po.
His name is Po. His name is Po Ping. Just, I like saying that, Po Ping. So Po, for those of us that might not know, is a giant panda. And he was brought up by his father, Mr. Ping, who is a goose. And for 20 years, Po did not know he was adopted. Giant panda, goose. Try and work that out. But the thing is, maybe he didn't know he was adopted because actually he felt part of the family. It didn't really matter that he didn't quite look the same because actually he was loved and cared for. And it didn't even occur to him that he was different in his physical appearance because Mr. Ping was his dad. Next picture. Paddington. So Paddington, oh, I didn't even give you the opportunity. I just was so excited that it's Paddington Bear. Paddington came all the way from Peru and was alone in London. He was from a different country, didn't have family or friends, and yet here he comes to London and he ends up being adopted, taken in by the Brown family. He has a little badge on him saying, "I belong to the Brown family." Isn't that a lovely image of actually he found a place where he belonged, where he was at home, in a different country, in a country he hadn't grown up in. Next picture. Who do you think this is an illustration of? Oliver? It is Oliver Twist. It is indeed. And Oliver Twist was adopted by Mr. Brownlow. And actually, he was caught by Mr. Brownlow because his friend was like pickpocketing Mr. Brownlow. And so it started out when Mr. Brownlow was quite angry with Oliver, but then he saw that Oliver wasn't that kind of a person, and he took him in, offering forgiveness and love and care. And he was quite rich, so he had lots of kind of stuff and blessings as well, and was cared for and loved. And our final picture. I think I heard a Superman. Yes, it's Superman. It's Superman. So Superman came from a foreign country, planet, different planet even. Superman came from Krypton. He was called Kal-El, and he was sent to earth by his parents to escape. And he was taken in by Jonathan and Martha Kent, and he was given a new name, the name Clark Kent. And so he was kind of cared for and loved and raised as a human, even though he was from a different planet. You might think that's just a kind of funny interactive quiz to be doing, but actually there's a lot there that the passage is pulling us into. There's a lot there that helps us to think about God as our eternal Father, that we are adopted into his family, that we're loved and cared for, that we're given his name, that we can cry out, Abba, Father, that we can be given his spirit. Let's just think about that. I think there's one more. As we sing our next child-led worship song, Father God, I Wonder, just think of those words. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. But now I'm a child, I'm a member of your family, and I can never be alone because, Father God, you're there beside me. And we will unpack this a bit more, but let's sing this song as we kind of keep thinking about these things, that God loves us, has adopted us, cares for us, and we're a child of God. So if we get the lyrics up for Father God, I Wonder, and then let's praise God before we kind of really unpack a bit more the Galatians passage. So we've talked about how God is our everlasting Father, that he was a way of Jesus coming into the world to make a way for us to be in a relationship with God, that it would be about being adopted into God's family. So we're going to unpick Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7 a little bit this morning. I'm going to do that by looking at these pictures. So first picture, Cara, do you want to stand and hold that? So the first picture that can come on the screen now is a picture of a broken chain. So in Paul's letter to the Galatian church, he's writing to kind of tell them that actually they don't need to be slaves any longer to the law, following everything and going over and above what is required. Because of Jesus, they're free from sin. They've been redeemed. And they're free from sin because of what Jesus has done. That this Jesus, that was a child of God himself, he was born a Jew. And in the Gospel of Luke, it talks about where Jesus was circumcised. And way back in the Old Testament, God's people, when he first chose them, he asked them as a sign of this promise that he would give them blessing upon blessing, that he would give them his name and they would be his people. He asked as a sign of that for every man to be circumcised as a symbol of that relationship, that close bond of them being called the people of God. And so here is Jesus being circumcised as a baby, as was the Jewish custom. And he did this in Galatians 4. It talks about in verse 4. It said, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. So Jesus was living under the law, the perfect human. As a Jew, he would have known his scriptures. He would have followed God's way. And he, as the Son of God, as God himself made flesh, was able to live up to that measure of what God wanted for us, to show that humanity, following God, being his child, was possible. Because of Jesus, freedom from sin is available for all. We've been redeemed when Jesus died on the cross to beat sin and death, to overcome the chains of sin and break them. So that's what it is to be a child of God, to know that we're free from sin. I wonder, do we feel free? Are there things that still bind us, that trip us up, that we struggle with? Maybe this year it's a fresh start again to go, God, help me. And we can be helped because of our next picture. So our next picture is a picture of a dove. I was going to say, what do you think this might mean? But we've already got it. So the picture of the dove is often represented in the Bible of God's Spirit. And so in this passage, it talks about how we are given God's Spirit. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son, this is verse 6, into our hearts. The Spirit that calls out, Abba, Father. And so as children of God, we can be free from sin. We also have been given God's Spirit to live in us. There's lots of passages in the New Testament that talk about, particularly in the letters, that talk about how we can live as Christians, as we can live like Jesus, that we can become more like the family image. Remember with adoption, becoming legally part of God's family. But that also means that as we spend time with God and in his family, we learn to become more like him. We adopt his characteristics. Like Poe thought, I don't know if he thought he was a goose, but he didn't think there was anything different because he was part of Mr. Ping's family. Like us, with God's Spirit, we can help us live as a member of God's family. There's lots of different examples, but in 2 Peter 1, verse 14, it says this. This is the New Living Translation. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. I wonder if you're aware of God's Spirit in you, guiding you, directing you, helping you live like him, helping us to avoid the things that might cause us to trip up and stumble. Maybe that's something we want to look at more this new year. And finally, because God wants us to grow in love and knowledge of him, as a child of God, we're free from sin. We're given his Spirit. But then finally, we're also given blessings and inheritance as children of God. Because it says so in verse 7, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. And what does that mean? Remember the Old Testament, God's people were blessed. And in the book of Numbers, God blessed the Israelites, saying, the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he give you peace. And that blessing and promise is available for us too. In Matthew's gospel, the Bible, it talks about how God cares for the animals and birds and gives them everything they need. How much more does God care for his children? And God loves the animals and things he's made. So he loves us pretty much. Loads, masses. Our eternal Father wants good things for us. And in John's Gospel, chapter 10:10, Jesus said he came to give life and life in all its fullness. And earlier in the book of John, it talks about how we sang it. God loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but have eternal life. This is the blessing and inheritance that comes to us as children of God. This year, what will it mean for us as children of God? Maybe we haven't yet asked to be a child of God. Maybe we want to make that commitment and say, Jesus, I want to know you in my life. Maybe we want to hear again from God that we are precious and loved, that we are valued as a child of God. That's what we need to hear again. Maybe we need to let go of what might chain us and keep us captive, that stops us growing in relationship with God. Maybe you need to know that you're never alone because you've got God's Spirit in you if you say, Jesus, be in my life. Maybe you need his directing and guidance more. And maybe you need to know that God longs to bless you now, and there's a certainty of eternal life with eternal blessings forever. So as we end, as we start this new year, the first day of 2023, what is God saying to us as we move ahead? My prayer is that we will know that we are a child of God, that we would know we are free from sin, that we've been redeemed, that what Jesus has done for us means that we are no longer a slave. Maybe we need to know again that we are given God's Spirit in us, not alone, living day by day, that we've been adopted and given the name of God, child of God. Maybe we need to fully accept we are his children and be expectant of all that God has in store. So I wish you a blessed, safe, and close relationship with God in this year ahead in 2023, that we know we're a child of God, that we're free from sin, that we're given the gift of the Spirit, and that we have his blessings and inheritance for all eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you.